And, you know, it looked like, you know, they were holding this up as sort of an alternative to the George W. Bush invasion of Iraq, a coalition in which the U.S. was not even the leader and organizer, really. You know, and it was a very broad coalition of nations that had intervened. They saw this as what she referred to as smart power. And they really thought this might be, you know, something they would hold up as a very successful part of her record as she ran for president. You know, as we've seen, that did not happen. And, you know, you don't hear them raise the subject of Libya on the campaign trail.
Scott Shane, we have to end the show, but we're going to do part two of our conversation after the show about your new book, Objective Troy, A Terrorist, A President, and the Rise of the Drone. Scott Shane, national security reporter for The New York Times, and we'll link to this major expose you did on Hillary Clinton's role in the Libya gamble. That does it for the show. We have this late breaking news. Honduras, the Honduran indigenous and environmental organizer Berta Cáceres has been assassinated. She was one of the leading organizers for indigenous land rights in Honduras, winner of the Goldman Environmental Prize. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Shane.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8 o'clock. Did you know that you can follow KBOO on Twitter and join in our conversations and get up-to-the-minute updates on special programs? Just search for KBOO online or on your favorite Twitter app to find us. Learn about station news, find out about recommended events, and see what we're talking about, whether it be news, interviews, or music. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with guest host Linda Olson Osterlin. Today's guest is Josie Setzler from Witness Against Torture. We'll talk about the Obama administration's plans for the prison at Guantanamo Bay and indefinite detention without charges or trial.
Gebu Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Fade to Black, a book release event for political prisoner Jalil Muntakam on Thursday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland. This political education and community event will promote the recent book release of Escaping the Prison, Fade to Black. Jalil is a political prisoner who organized with the Black Panther Party in the Bay Area and was underground with the Black Liberation Army. He was captured when he was 19 in 1971 and has been locked up ever since. This event will feature local talent and activists including Black Butterfly, Kent Ford, Walida Imarisha, and many more. Again, that's Fade to Black, a book release event for political prisoner Jalil Muntakam on Thursday, March 10th at 7 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center, 400 Southeast 12th in Portland.
Cable Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Setup, a play that takes place in Hell's Kitchen during the late 1920s. It focuses on a Black boxer, an eminent champion whose return to the ring is secretly set up for defeat. The Setup runs from February 12th through March 5th at the Shaking the Tree Theater, 823 Southeast Grant Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cable Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Mayoral Candidate Forum on Social Justice, March 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Maranatha Church in Portland. The forum will be a public conversation with leading mayoral candidates about social justice issues in our community. The program will be moderated by Israel Bayer of Street Roots, Joanne Hardesty of the NAACP Portland branch, and Jason Renault of the Mental Health Association of Portland. Again, that's the Mayoral Candidate Forum on Social Justice, Thursday, March 10th at 6:30 p.m. at Maranatha Church, 4222 Northeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Get up, stand up, stand up. for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning into KBOO this morning and to Voices from the Edge. I'm not Joanne Hardesty. If any of you are regular listeners, which I'm sure many of you are, you can know that in a minute. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund. Joanne is taking a break from the show today, something else to be done, nothing to worry about, and I'm really happy to be able to step in and be a guest host. Today, we're going to be talking about Guantanamo. President Obama came out with a recent statement saying that he still wants to empty it before his term is up. But before we get to that, I want to bring you all some good news. You may or may not be familiar with this case. When I had a show called A Deeper Look, did cover it many times, and it's been on our news show. But Albert Woodfox was released from prison last week, and why that's so important is because he had been locked up for 42 years, the longest time that any prisoner had been locked in solitary confinement for 42 years in Angola prison, often known as the farm in Angola, Louisiana. And there was a movement built around him and Herman Wallace and Robert King. Robert King got out a few years ago and has been fighting tirelessly for his two brothers. These are prison activists who were accused wrongly of a murder, and all of them have had their charges thrown out multiple times. The last one still in prison was Albert Woodfox, and he was able to get out. He's 69 years old, 42 years in prison. He talks about how important it was, the movement built around him and the two others, how important Herman and Robert King were to him. And he made a really moving statement thanking everybody who ever signed a petition, whoever went to the Amnesty International site and signed there, whoever took an action on behalf of them, that it made such a difference. We were really pleased to see him get out alive and relatively healthy for a 69-year-old man. Herman Wallace was released compassionately, but only 2 days before he died. We were thrilled to get him out, but we didn't want a repeat of that. When I say we, I mean everybody who supported the Angola 3. So I thank you as well. All of you KBOO listeners, I know there were times when I asked you to take actions and when I had Robert King on, and I know many of you did. So I want to thank any of you that took any action on his behalf, and I want us all to feel heartened by it. I feared, I'm in my 60s, I feared that I or he would die before I would see him free, like so many other unjustly imprisoned people in the United States. So that's our good news for what's turning out to be a beautiful spring morning here in Portland, Oregon. But today we're not going to be talking about Albert Woodfox or the Angola 3 anymore. We're going to go straight to talking about Guantanamo, and I have a great guest for us. Her name is Josie Setzler. She's a retired, I believe she was a professor at different times. She's retired. She has her doctorate in chemistry, but she's been a tireless activist for many years for nonviolence. She's helped found peace organizations, and she's one of the founders of Witness Against Torture, an organization that sprang up explicitly to oppose what had happened in Guantanamo and to work for the freedom of those men. I know that she's twice been imprisoned for her actions in front of the White House. I'm very pleased to have her come on today. I heard about her because she wrote a statement in response to Witness Against Torture. She wrote a statement against Obama's plan for Guantanamo, and I thought she was right on with what she had to say. So welcome to KBOO, Josie.
Hello, Linda. It's my pleasure to be here.
Thanks
for lifting up the cause.
Yeah, thank you for being available. Josie, I have a brief clip that we stole from Democracy Now! Of President Obama talking about this plan. Why don't we go to that, and then you and I can begin talking.
Okay.
All right.
For many years, it's been clear that the detention facility at Guantanamo Bay does not advance our national security. It undermines it. This is not just my opinion. This is the opinion of experts. This is the opinion of many in our military. It's counterproductive to our fight against terrorists because they use it as propaganda in their efforts to recruit. Keeping this facility open is contrary to our values. It undermines our standing in the world. It is viewed as a stain on our broader record of upholding the highest standards of rule of law.
Congress remains strong.
That was Obama in part of his announcement about this plan. Josie, let's go right for it. Can you talk about this plan and why, as soon as you saw it, you were not happy?
Yes, Linda, you framed it well. I see in your title for this this segment, "Close, don't move Guantanamo." You say the new Obama plan, indefinite detention. There's the problem. Obama has proposed, and actually has been proposing this throughout his through a good deal of his administration, that the United States shut down not just the the United States shut down the facility, rather than the legal and moral abomination that it represents. And so it misses the point altogether.
Yes, and I want to make sure that people understand this is a call-in show. I'm going to talk with Josie for about another 10 minutes, and then I'm going to invite you to call in. If you'd like to write down the number now so you're ready to get your calls in line, it's 503-231-8187, and call with your comments or questions about Guantanamo. We'd love to hear from you. I feel like this is an issue that fades into the background over and over again, and I'm curious to see how you feel about that and what your thoughts are about our chances of getting these men freed from the situation that they're in. I was going to say the hell they're in, I guess is really the most accurate way to describe it. So this plan, I looked at it, and it really let's be clear about what's dangerous about it. One, there are at least 35 people that have been cleared. He is saying that he'd like to get as many cleared as could, and then some would remain forever in indefinite detention, but in a prison inside the United States and closing down the facility. Is that sort of the basics of it?
That's right. He'll try to release as many as he can, and that's going very slowly, by the way, and he doesn't really show how he's going to speed it up. But the so-called, what we like to call the forever prisoners, the ones that he claims they have insufficient evidence to try but are too dangerous to release, he does indeed propose to move them to the United States. And let's think about what that means. As Amnesty International has said, it's in a way of setting up a parallel system to our own U.S. criminal justice system, a parallel system where we have life in prison without charge. We really need to think about that. We're already doing that at Guantanamo when we put that side by side in our own prison system in this country. Are we now embracing it as the new U.S. norm?
And I believe there are some prisons that are, in fact, largely populated, or some sections of prisons largely populated by prisoners related to what they call terrorism, mostly people who identify religiously as Muslims and have been rounded up on different charges. We have our own examples here in Oregon where the federal police have worked very hard to set up a situation to entrap someone who probably, well, they certainly wouldn't have had the ability to carry out the plan without the FBI. So there are already parts of prisons that are set aside just for this, and they are, I believe, a supermax style, which means that they are solitary confinement. Supermaxes are all solitary confinement. Each person is imprisoned by themselves. Whether they get any time out with others is varied.
Absolutely. The longer I've been involved with this organization, and by the way, I wasn't a founder.
I thought I read that.
In 2008, and they started with a brave group of people in 2005 when they visited Cuba, and I got involved in 2008, and I'm a member of the organizing team. But indeed, we've in recent years begun to expand our analysis as we meet to look at solitary confinement in this country. It's practiced in Guantanamo. It's practiced in this country at the war on terror and how that targets Muslims. How the stoking of Islamophobia in this country, which is really, really ablaze right now in the presidential campaign, is a real issue. Put that together with terror, and we already see the results, as you've already mentioned. We got involved showing up for a hearing for the Fort Dix Five in Camden, New Jersey, five Muslim men who were indeed entrapped by the FBI, and I don't need to go off into that too far, but I want to say that we are examining those connections, and we believe it's all of one cloth. Now, you take the indefinite detention that's going on in Guantanamo, and you claim you're closing the facility, but you move that practice to the United States in prisons where there's already abuses being done. And, you know, how hard is that barrier? How firm is that barrier between these two practices?
Have to remember, actually, that the way that Hitler got in power was legal. They just changed the laws, and we have a Congress that is willing to change the laws to accomplish anything they want. Josie, I think it's interesting. I don't know if you've paid attention, and I don't know for sure what Hillary has said about Guantanamo recently or what Bernie has said. The one that I heard the most, of course, is the one that the press is giving the most attention to, and that was Trump's statement that he's going to keep Guantanamo and we're going to fill it up with bad dudes. And he said that all to large applause and, of course, his audience. And, you know, he makes things sound buffoony in a way, but there's an audience for that. So we need to realize that much of the people of this country do not realize who the people are who were really locked up in Guantanamo. I have interviewed, and I'm assuming you've met Andy Worthington, because he comes to those demonstrations. He's the author of the Guantanamo Files, the stories of the 774 detainees in America's illegal prison. So there were 774 approximately. He knows that there may have been some who came and went when this prison was opened. There are now 91 in it. Do you know how many deaths have been part of that?
There have been 9 deaths. 4 of them took place since Obama became president.
So 9 people have died in there. And when you, I recommend everybody, if you don't want to buy the Guantanamo Files book, that you go to andyworthington.co.uk. I'll put a link to that up on the today's segment, and read some of the stories of the men. All you have to do is scroll down the page to read the stories, because, you know, these are people just like us. And no, they're not just like us in that they were raised in an American city or suburb and went through our buses, but they're just like us in that they were regular human beings trying to go forward in their life, get a job here or get training here or do this or that. Virtually less than a dozen may have had anything to do with Al-Qaeda, and certainly they weren't the worst of the worst. If they were that, they were drivers, or they had gone to Afghanistan with the Mujahideen to fight the Soviets and have them leave. So when you read their individual stories, I had the luck to interview the attorney of a man named Suleiman, who has been released and is suing for what happened to him in Guantanamo. Sweet, sweet person who's been very damaged and uses listening to reggae music to soothe him when his nerves get too much of him. One of the things we've heard a lot is, oh boy, when they get out, they're going to come and fight against us. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. I think a good example might be one of the so-called forever prisoners that was cleared just last week by the Periodic Review Board. I saw that on Friday, and I'm going, this is a story that needs to be told, because this is an example of somebody they are telling us is so dangerous. His name is Haj Hamdullah. He's been added to the cleared for release list now. But for 4 years, he was deemed too dangerous to release, and presumably was going to be indefinitely detained forever. Okay.
Yeah.
They now have determined that there is lack of clear information regarding his involvement with Al-Qaeda or Taliban. And, you know, they say that he's non-ideological. He's a well-behaved captive. He does not support jihadist ideology. What seems to have been his offense was that he fought the Soviet occupation of his homeland, Afghanistan, in the 1980s, and he hunted Soviet troops. He was at one point imprisoned in Kabul in an exchange for a Russian soldier. Okay, we're talking about this highly dangerous figure in our war on terror being a fighter in the war against the Soviets, which we were supporting at that time.
With lots of money and lots of arms.
Absolutely. I don't really understand how this man got onto that list. I'm glad that he's off of it now. But I wanted to give that example as an example of how we don't really know. They call these people too dangerous to release. They say they have insufficient evidence to try them. And they've cleared just recently quite a few of them.
Steve Wax, who is a federal prosecutor, a federal defender here in Oregon, and wrote the book Kafka Comes to America about his experience defending Guantanamo person, found that it was as easy as making a phone call to Afghanistan to verify the truth of what his detainee was saying. And that phone call was never made. So here people have, proof. Oh, yes, he was the principal of our school. No, he was never a fighter against such and such. But our government refuses to take the step to actually investigate who this person was. And I think you're right. If we could meet these people, we would understand that they're not our enemies. And I think that's true with most people in the world. If we meet them, sit down with them, have a cup of tea, we can find out they're not our enemies. The other thing I think misnomer about releasing people is if they get out, they'll want to kill us. Well, they keep saying that, but they can't prove it. They can't find these so-called fighters that have turned to the dark and are trying to bomb us or kill us again. And when you actually trace the prisoners that have been released, most of them are still damaged and struggling with the damage that was done to them from torture and long imprisonment and isolation from their families and friends and not knowing when they would be released. Human beings, that Herman Wallace of the Angolas Three, that Herman Wallace, Albert Woodfox, and Robert King survived is miraculous. Human beings do not, we're vulnerable. We're soft, and we don't usually come out murderers when we've been broken down to such a state.
Yes, really, these men have been in prison for 14 years now, and we think they're the ones that we need to worry about. It doesn't make sense. But, there's something you said about Albert Woodfox that hit home with me. You said that he thanked all of those activists that had lifted up his cause over the years and how much hope that gave him. And I want to say that is true of the Guantanamo detainees as well. We learned that from their attorneys. When their attorneys go to Guantanamo and describe what the demonstrations that happen in front of the White House, they derive hope from it, maybe not even so much from the sense that that's going to solve their problem, but that they have not been forgotten.
And that humans out here know them as humans in there. Well, let's put out that phone number. We have a caller, I believe, on the line, and I want to make sure others have a chance to talk with you, Josie, and talk about this subject. So our phone number is 503-231-8187. That will get you on. And and I want to go ahead and take the first caller. Jack, thank you for calling.
Yes. I wanted to ask you, I'm sorry, I just dialed into the show a minute or two ago, so I don't know if you covered this at all, but that it came out in various reports that there was a program designed to, prepare certain detainees to be released back into the Middle East as double agents. Okay, and there's a lot of discussion in the alternative media about the program to create double agents, let's say provocateurs even. The reports that I've read say they're supposed to go back and give intelligence on finding more terrorists. Other analysis of this is that no, they're provocateurs. They're supposed to keep the fight going, keep things stirred up, keep more chaos, more failed states. That's the end mission of the global war of terror.
Jack, where did you read about this? Do you remember?
Some of the first articles came out in the Observer. I believe there was one even in the New York Times. The headline, Penny Lane, that was the part of the camp where the program was going on. Whether it's still going on or not, who knows? How do you know anything that comes out of there? You can't believe, anything that, it's really hard. Nevertheless, it's been reported that the only way out is that you agree to be sent back into the field as a double agent. And I'd just like to hear this addressed. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jack. Would you like to talk about that, Josie? Go ahead and answer him.
I don't have any knowledge of that program. If that is true, that's highly disturbing. but I really can't comment any further. I don't have any knowledge.
Yeah. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. Let's say that. I know that there are citizens of Portland that Attorney Tom Nelson is defending who have not been able to return to their home country because they've been put on a no-fly list. And at least one of those gentlemen, it was because he refused to become an informant for him. He was working overseas. He's a citizen of the United States and a resident of Portland, and he was trying to start his business overseas in the Middle East, and representatives of the State Department asked him to become, you know, one of their guys, an agent, and he refused. And in specifics, they were trying to target a sheikh of one of our mosques here, and he refused, not because he is a radical in any way, but just because he said, if I know anything, I will tell you, but I'm not going to actively go around seeking out knowledge and be your agent. He ended up being tortured in a prison in Abu Dhabi for 3 months, and he's now doing much better. He's much better, but he's still not back in the United States. So, you know, I would not be surprised that they would be attempting this with prisoners from Guantanamo, but we do know where most of the prisoners have gone, and that's not what they're doing, and that's not who they are. Some of them, it took a large movement to get out. Shakir Amir, I believe, it took many years to get out, and while he will speak about and against his detention, he's not in any way advocating violence.
That's right. Yeah, Shakir Amir is a great example of a man unjustly detained for a long, long time, and probably because of the leadership the moral leadership he showed in helping his fellow prisoners to deal with their detention. Yeah,
so let's go ahead and get the next caller. I know we have Francis on the line. Welcome, Francis.
Hi. Are you there?
Yes, we are. Okay. Good morning.
I appreciate the discussion today. I know everyone did thought that when President Obama would say that he was going to close Guantanamo, he meant that the injustices would stop and transferring
that
him
was early
else.
In his administration, wasn't it? Some people still had hope.
Right.
That word.
Transferring the injustice to some other location isn't going to help anything. And I really am having a hard difficulty understanding the logic of, because you may retaliate for the injustices we've already done, we're going to continue to be unjust, so that you'll have more to be angry about. So I don't get it. But I would like to understand, if you can explain more the legality that is used and terminology that is used by our government to justify holding people without charge, because there isn't enough to charge them with anything, but saying that they are dangerous still.
So what kind
of... But there's nothing to prove that they are.
Yeah, Francis, thank you.
How do they use... What logic or legality is given back when their attorneys try to present that?
Yes, go ahead and... You want to address
thank
that, Josie?
Thank you. I'll take that off the line if you don't mind.
Thank you, Francis.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, the administration will claim that they can do so under the laws of war. And but they've broken new ground under the laws of war. It's not so clear cut that they can do that. And we should also be asking ourselves if this is they were picked up in 2002, 2003, and around there. And this is still that same war, an endless war. What will it do to our democracy if we define what's going on now as one endless war with no end in sight, and then detain these men?
Well, and I think that is the point. I think that's even partly why they did define the war as endless, because it's allowed such a broad expansion of our drone warfare, and including many countries that were not initially involved in any of this. So I think that you're right. That is their plan. Is they call it that we're still in warfare, no matter what it is. And we can see that the U.S. government creates warfare throughout, certainly throughout the Middle East and Africa, Northern Africa, and many other parts of the world. So, you know, there isn't a real legal basis for it. It's you know, I like to say this, and people don't like to hear it, but we are the evil empire. If you're thinking science fiction and an overriding evil empire that can use their force to get pretty much what they want anywhere on that planet, well, who does that describe? I think that describes our country. I think that's pretty darn sad. I know we have other callers. I want to give that number out again to make sure that everybody gets a chance to call in. If any of you have a particular memory of what Clinton has said or what Bernie has said about Guantanamo, please bring that up too. So I'm calling out to you, the callers. But let's go ahead to our very next one. LJ, thank you for calling in.
Hi, Linda.
How are you?
It certainly is great to hear your voice on the air again.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I like to slip back in now and then.
Welcome home, Linda.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so a couple of quick points. Excuse me, I've got a little cold. All right. Guantanamo is in violation of international law. Right?
Yep, it is.
Right.
Or exists outside international law. Whichever way you want to say it.
Doesn't it go against the Nuremberg Accords?
Everything that's happened in it has, yes, I believe.
Okay. So, number one, the evil Imperial Empire, thank you for pointing that out, flaunts international law, and it's meaningless to them, right?
Unless they want to use it against another nation.
Right. All right. Now, I'm going to throw a couple of numbers at you. It costs $40 million a month to house 91 prisoners in Guantanamo.
Thank you for bringing that number to our attention. Say it again.
All right. $40 million a month to house 91 prisoners. 81 of those prisoners are charged with nothing.
Right.
Okay. All right. So anyway,
when you look at those numbers, it's pretty astonishing. At the same time that we're making it so hard for young people to be able to afford college or pay off their loans, or we see the streets of Portland fill up with people who've lost their ability to hold a home.
Linda, as a retiree, dependent on Social Security, we did not get a cost of living increase this year.
No.
The government gave us a 1.4% cost of living increase last year. This is the first time in a decade that we have not gotten a cost of living increase. So apparently, they would rather spend $40 million a month keeping open up an illegal prison than to take care of us senior citizens.
And our young people and our health care and so
and
much
everybody.
Else.
And
yes, I'm really glad you brought up that point, and I'm glad you had the numbers. You're always good for that, RJ. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Linda. Have a great day.
You too, and we'll go on to our next caller.
Okay.
All right, so the number to call is 503-231-8187. I do want to start turning our conversation a little bit to what can we do, or if you're out there and you honestly feel like this is not going to end well and we can't really do anything, please call in and tell us, because I know that there are people who feel that way. They just hate to even hear about Guantanamo because it hurts them, but they feel powerless in it. So I want to hear all kinds of conversation. Once again, the number is 503-231-8187. Don, you're on the air.
Hey, Linda. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to talk a little bit about my own personal experience, because I've been an advocate for a lot of years, and I've been the target of the Fusion Freaks and a lot of people like that for quite a while now. But I want to tell you, first thing is, isn't it like about 2,000 or 3,000 people that work down there at Gitmo, taking care of 91 people?
You know, I'm not sure how large the personnel are. There is an actual movie out that I think does depict it fairly well from descriptions I've read with other soldiers, and that's one called Camp X-Ray, has Kristen Stewart in it. And I think if people want to get a view of how the guards are made to work so that they have almost no opportunity to care about who they're taking care of. But in terms of how many are there at any given time, I'm not sure. I just don't have that in front of me.
Does your guest know?
Do you know, Josie?
I don't have the number in front of me, but that sounds about right, that it's something like a 100-to-1 ratio or 200-to-1 ratio. So I think you've got that about right.
Yeah.
And it's all set up with, it's like two little suburbs. They've got drive-through places and places to swim and exercise and all that kind of stuff. I've heard it described as set up sort of like a desert suburban.
Yeah, for not for the inmates. For
no,
the
no, 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 for the, no, for the military yeah, personnel and their contractors, yeah.
But, you know, you were talking about how the injustice of the MDAA, which Obama signed on, what, New Year's Eve, I think it was, or Christmas Eve. And, you know, it's the same thing as the grand jury system, is they get you in there to their little cages, and if you can't get a way out, like in our system, if you don't have enough money, then you sit there for maybe a year or longer. And these guys, like I said, they're not even being charged. So it just tells you how outrageous this is. But what I wanted to ask you, both of you, and maybe you can do a special on this, Linda, is this that our, the fact is our government is using directed energy weapons on activists and protests. There was a case in 1978 where they hit about 1,000 people down in Eugene. And this is a military document that got released, and it talks about how they, 31 of them had to go get medical treatment because of these directed energy weapons.
I've heard about a couple different kinds. One's a heat one, and one is a sound one.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, they use it every one on me. The last 6 years, I have been the major target because I've been really active about going after the all sorts of criminal justice problems. But I'm an advocate for men with disabilities, so that's kind of my primary interest, which is the primary people who are in the prisons in Oregon.
Yeah.
But the fact is, these weapons, and one of the ones they use, mostly they have a little just normal stun gun tasers, and they can shoot you from about a few hundred feet away and give you little shocks. They can also point those things at you. They're little heat things where they can point them at you. There was one day where they hit me with this heat weapon. I pulled out my wallet, and I have four IDs, and I've saved them all. They all have an exact burn hole right in the middle of the ID, so they were shooting me right with that thing. They have a thing where they can point it at you and itch you, or they can tickle you. Now, if you're a sports fan, you got to wonder if they're using these games, because we know people who gamble are the same sort of people who work for the government and work for corporations.
Well, you know, this is a pretty interesting issue you're bringing. You know, my email is kboolinda@gmail.com. Why don't you go ahead and email me some information about it, and I'd like to look into it later.
I have a brand new press release. I'll send it to you. And thank you for the show. This is really great.
Yes, thank you, Don. Have you?
Yeah,
go ahead, Josie.
I was like going to comment that this is an example of how the devices and the procedures that we develop in war come back to haunt us here in our own home, in our own country, and are especially dangerous for those who want to dissent. And so that's why I worry about Guantanamo come home as well, that what we have learned to do offshore, we will probably come back and be used against people of color or dissenters here. So
now, you've been arrested a couple times. How has your experience been? Now, these are pretty high profile because they're in front of the White House, so I'm assuming they didn't use any heavy weaponry on you, but...
No. Let's see. For me, one of them was in front of the White House. It was actually on the 100th day of the Obama administration, when 60 of us took on the identities of the 60 men who were at that time cleared for release and had not yet been cleared. So we set up a drama about that. They lost us in the system, and we never did get to go to trial. It is our... objective to raise this issue in the courtroom, and I think they weren't too keen on doing that.
And they're doing that more often too. So they either choose to push forward with prosecution or not, depending on whether or not they want this to get attention.
I think so, and it's getting more prominent, that approach. We've discovered that I've been arrested twice in the gallery of. First time the House of Representatives, and then more recently the gallery of the Senate with fellow Witness Against Torture members. And the first time we got a jury trial out of it. They charged us with some kind of disruption of Congress, and so because it was it could involve a 6 month or longer jail term, we did get a jury trial, and so we were able to lift up this issue in the courts. We were talking about the NDAA at that time. That was mm-hmm. 2012, I believe. Then in the Senate, we were talking about
And that
about
was
the
a law that was passed, right, that set up the form of administrative review that they're doing?
Absolutely. And the law set up the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, started to include measures that forbid
moving detainees to U.S. soil, let's say for prosecution, or to spend any money to move them anywhere. And we were objecting to that. Now, at that time, we did get a trial, and no one went to jail over it, but we did have a trial. Now, more recently, in 2015, when we protested in the Senate about the releasing a torture report and prosecuting, having accountability for torture, we prepared for trial, and when we got there, the government said it wasn't prepared, and the case was dismissed. There's been a shift.
Yes, that's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting to hear. I know we have more callers. We'll go ahead and let them get on the line. Once again, the number is 503-231-8187. Rebel, thank you for calling in.
Hi. Boy, so much to talk about on this topic, but I'll keep it short. The talk about moving Guantanamo to the U.S., there's actually already black sites in the U.S. One of them was uncovered in Chicago called Homan Square. That's H-O-M-A-N Square.
Oh, I remember reading about that in Chicago. It was a secret site where they took people.
It surfaced last year sometime and then was quickly swept under the carpet by Rahm Emanuel.
Though they incorporated into the TV show, The Good Wife actually did an episode where she had to follow someone there. So it got a little it got a little farther propaganda via that show, which takes place in Chicago, and the lead character is supposed to be an attorney. And so they had one of her people taken there, and she showed up there. And they made it fairly realistic in how difficult they made it for the attorney.
Wow, yeah, they actually took some protesters from the No NATO protest and took them there. There were some actually taken there and told they weren't tortured, but they were mentally tortured, basically kept in solitary and things like that, which brings me to my other point. We don't need a Guantanamo with people that are freed and clear to be released that are still stuck there for years to know how much of an injustice system we have. We have that Black Panther, I forgot his name, that you mentioned
Albert
earlier
Woodfox,
that was held for 40. I'm sorry?
Albert Woodfox, yes.
Yeah. He's held for 42 years in solitary. That is just insane. To think that our country would allow that to happen is just, it's just proof of the corruption. And these black sites, I bet there's more than Homan Square. That was just one of them that, leaked out. And it was quickly swept under the carpet. Nobody talks about it anymore. And that's the points I had to make. There is a lot more to talk about the injustice that our country does. And, that one clip where they were talking about going back to the U.S. high ground of upholding law to the highest. There's no way. We are the lowest. It's just unreal. Thank you very much for letting me make my comments, and have a great day.
Yeah, thank you, Rebel. You know, Josie, hi. I wasn't laughing for any other reason, though, that it cracks me up when they try to claim that at the same time that they're carrying out illegal actions left and right. You know, every drone strike in another country, that's a sovereign country, that's a sovereign nation, and those are individuals whose rights have been taken away forever, the ones who are killed and lose their families. So I'm amazed that there is an amount of just plain acting, you know, these politicians have to do, or don't have to do, choose to do.
They choose to do it. It benefits them in aggrandizing their power. Who knows? But I would like to respond to what your caller said about prolonged solitary confinement, the 42 years that Albert Woodfox endured. The UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, Juan Mendez, has called that, he's not the only one, but has named that as prolonged solitary confinement as torture. And it is his job under the UN Convention Against Torture to investigate that. He has applied to the United States to visit prisons where this prolonged solitary confinement takes place, like the ADX Supermax in Florence, Colorado. And the United States has not allowed him to visit. The United States is a signatory, however, of the Convention Against Torture. It is our obligation to investigate any instances of this. And so I would just, it goes along with your caller's point.
Yes, I think so. And what he's really pointing to is an underbelly of America that surfaces now and then. often, I think, farther underbelly, a worse underbelly than many of us who have been activists in opposition to even the whole system of this government have known. It can be surprising how badly we treat people. I want to give out the number again, though. I'd like to have other people call in. We do still have, you know, a good 10 minutes. I want to hear what you're thinking about Guantanamo, what we should do, how we should as activists, because clearly the government isn't really going to move towards ending this. And I just want to put this out there, and I think Josie, you kind of agree with me. We really want to have this end before the next administration. We do not want to have his administration be transferred over to either of them. I do not believe that Hillary Clinton will work to release Guantanamo detainees. There's nothing in her avocation of violence and war around the world, the use of U.S. force, I guess would say what she advocates, that would say that she would be sympathetic to their plight. But if anybody has any knowledge about something different with that, do please call in. It's 503-231-8187. Josie, have you read any statements from Hillary Clinton about Guantanamo and its closure, or from Bernie Sanders?
No, I haven't. There may be some. I haven't heard them. I think the media isn't pressing them on this issue.
Would that be one way you would advocate for people to be pressing them to talk about that subject? I mean, we want to get this ended. How are we going to get the pressure going?
Yeah, that's a good way to start it, and that is to pressure the campaigns directly.
Have them address this issue and say what they would do.
And there's another way to do it, and that is to pressure the media to do so as well. Katrina Van Den Heuvel in the Washington Post this week did an op-ed in which she said that the media should recognize once and for all that torture and all of these practices, that torture is not a matter of serious debate. It is a war crime. And the media is treating it like it is, it's just the news or it's entertainment or whatever. They do not push back. They don't ask the hard questions about torture, and they don't ask the hard questions about Guantanamo, and they need to do that with candidates of both parties. And so we can also raise that with the media.
I agree. And certainly your organization is a place where people can go. It's witnessagainsttorture.org. Is that correct?
Witnessagainsttorture.com.
And you can go to that site. I did link to it on today's schedule. When you look at this episode, you'll see, if you go to kboo.fm and look at the schedule right there, you'll see this show, and you can click on, you can look and see the links there. We do have another caller. Let's have you on the line. Wayne, welcome to KBOO.
Thanks. You said you wanted to hear from people who are pessimistic about the future?
Sure.
And here I am.
All right. Yeah, all right. Your turn.
And as far as Guantanamo is concerned, I think we should continue improving relations and strengthening them with Cuba and give Guantanamo back.
Now, there you go. whose country, whose land was that? I don't think it's actually totally a joke, though. I do think that if we could, you know, there could be some positive response if Cuba had its way in terms of what would be happening on that island.
Well, maybe we could do a deal where there'd be free UN-supervised elections in return for Guantanamo.
Uh-huh. I'm not thinking that's likely to happen soon, but
nah,
I hear where
so
you're
either.
Going.
But
all right.
Too logical.
All right. Anything else, Wayne?
I just think that it's just so complicated with so many players and so much resentment on different sides and so much propaganda out there dividing us against each other. I don't really see, I mean, short of mass organizing, short of that, I don't see how we're going to get out of this. I just see it's going to get worse, because those who have, some of them may be convertible to a different way of understanding and doing things, but many of them are going to be greedy and defensive, and they're going to dig in.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Wayne, and I appreciate you being willing to say that on radio. Josie, do you want to say anything about what he's bringing up?
It is hard to keep hope alive. I understand that, Wayne. I feel the same way. But I do find some hope in continuing to speak out, and I hope that that all your listeners do as well. The public discourse on all of this has degenerated, especially in this presidential campaign season, but it's been going on for years, and we need to raise a different moral perspective. We need to keep talking.
Even when we're not sure that it will result in the proper end, you know, as I've gotten a little bit older, I do feel that there's a role for all of us to play, even when we can't win that important long battle that we're going for. There's a role for us. People need to hear what we have to say. People need to hear what you have to say, Wayne. It's the only way if change is going to take place. Those words have to be part of the inspiration for it.
Yeah. Well, I don't feel like giving up.
No, I know. I can tell. You wouldn't have called in if you weren't saying it. Yep.
I'm just pessimistic about what we're going to be looking at.
Yep. Well, I get that. And thank you, Wayne, for calling in. I do want to remind people, with Albert Woodfox of the Angola 3 being released last week, I can't tell you that there were times when I would hear in my head, he's just going to die there. He's just going to die there. They're so determined to keep Panthers locked up wherever they are. I do believe that about where they've got Black Panthers still locked up. They're going to do everything to try to keep them in there. They're too much of a beacon of a certain time. And so, but I was wrong, and I did keep taking actions. I will say, even when I feel that, I do keep taking actions. You know, sign the petition at Amnesty International for me as a radio program host, do a show on the topic. Oh, which reminds me, I've just discovered that we have some more topics coming up today. For those of you who are listening, you're listening to Voices from the Edge. I'm the guest host, Linda Olson Osterlin, and I have as a guest Josie Setzler. She's from Witness Against Torture, written a great statement about why Obama's plan is way too little too late. But coming up later this morning on Cable, I want to let you know what's on its way. Next up will be Teresa Mitchell, host of Press Watch, News You're Not Supposed to Know, one of my very favorite shows. Of course, actually, the lineup today is always my favorite. At 9:30 is Fight the Empire, host Per Fongren. He examines, quote, the American nightmare. And at 10, we have Chris Andre, host of Air Cascadia, headlines, interview, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoint, to look at current events in Haiti and an interview with two professors who became activists in the BDS movement. That's the, I don't know what the BDS movement is. I'm going to have to ask that question.
I can tell.
Oh, it's the boycott and divest movement. Thank you, Josie. You too. And my engineer got on and told me in my ear. At 11 on Between the Covers, we hear an interview with the late writer Umberto Eco from 2005. And at 11:30, it's Black Book Talk, a monthly program featuring interviews and discussion of works by African-American authors. I also want to just take a second to thank all the KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can always become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. It's really easy to do, and all of this great radio is brought to you because of you. We do have another caller on the line. Aiden, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you. Great show. I was just wondering, I haven't heard much about giving Guantanamo back to Cuba because it's Cuba's land, and is that an issue, or has anybody ever brought that up?
Well, I think Wayne just mentioned that he thought we should give it back to Cuba and let Cuba decide what to do. Josie, what do you think about this?
Some of our own activists, 14 of our with 14 Watt members, went to Cuba in November and attended a conference on just that subject called the organization is called No More Bases. It's a worldwide organization that opposes foreign military bases. And the conference was held right in the city of Guantanamo. Code Pink attended it as well. And so, yes, there are activists in this country who believe that that's also a fundamental issue. That base shouldn't even exist there and be there for us to outsource what we feel uncomfortable with. But for the sake of the Cuban people and their rightful sovereignty, yes, that base should close. Will it? Well, I don't think that's very likely. But yes, we can speak up for that.
You know, when I look at the numbers, 91 and more being cleared, he seemed to, has he picked up the pace like a tiny bit, like a maybe a little bit, because a couple more people have been named. But when you go to 764, I believe it, or 74, and it's now down to 91, I think we have to say, yay. I mean, if you look at those numbers, we have to feel like, yes, that's all of those other people out. Only 9 of them had to die to get released from Guantanamo. And we don't want any more to have to die. I believe there are somewhere around 9 hunger strikers still actively striking, refusing to eat because they refuse to accept the conditions they're living under.
Yes, we can celebrate for each of those that has been released. Each of those is an important victory, especially for that person and his family. But the pace is a little quicker, but if the pace doesn't speed up, they are not going to be released before the end of the Obama administration. I'd like to comment on one of the hunger strikers, Tariq Ba Oda, a Yemeni prisoner who has been hunger striking most of his stay there. He was one of the early prisoners brought there. And he's been on continuous hunger strike, said, to be kept alive. And his attorneys at the Center for Constitutional Right have been suing in court to Gary Law Grounds. And he is cleared. I want you to know he's been cleared for the last 5 years. The Obama administration sort of reflexively continues to push back on these suits in federal court and will not hasten his release. But I want you to know he's down to about 75 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
And attorneys believe that he is gravely ill. Why is the DOJ continuing to push back? Does that mean it doesn't sound like the Obama administration is really serious then?
There seems to be, profoundly lacking in compassion, but also just real motivation to get it done.
That's exactly right.
People have been released to many different countries, and thank goodness for those countries that are willing to have them back. I believe that if we get to the end of the year and they're not released, that of course the movement to close Guantanamo will have to go forward. And if they do by any chance move them to a prison in the United States, we have to address that issue as well. I don't think as humans, but let's say as people who believe in democracy and believe in human rights, that we can accept indefinite detention as a part of our justice system.
Absolutely. We will have to continue right here on our own soil if that's what happens. In fact, what happens to people in our own country that disappear into supermaxes? We forget about them.
I know.
We have 100,000 people in solitary confinement right now, and we don't hear most of their names. What's going to happen to these men from Guantanamo if that's where they end up? And we need to speak out on behalf of all of those prisoners.
And I would bet you, because of our mass incarceration policies and how the justice system addresses people of color, and particularly African American, I would be willing to bet that a majority of them are that.
Yes.
Or people of color.
Or Muslim, perhaps.
Yes, that's I know that almost all the supposed terrorists have been put in solitary. Not all of them. And after a few years, that changes. But it's still a real issue. We have one last caller on the line. Let's see if we can hear. Say the name again. Peaceman. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm also was in solitary confinement at Hillsborough Zoo, as I refer to it. And for being a poet, that's what we do here. So I say, let the Cubans decide and turn it into a museum of American capital torturism.
I can see something like
ACT.
That.
ACT, yeah, act now.
American cap. Say it again.
American capital torturism. I hate isms.
Yes.
But you got me there, so I just play with them. So instead of being a socialism, I'm a social list. I have a long list of social things I like to do. Take some of the edge off of it and play with the word and make it a little bit funny.
Well, I'm glad you've got your humor. I'm glad you've got your humor, because we do need it. We need it a lot in these movements. We need to dance. We need to laugh. And sometimes that can be pretty hard to do. Can you say anything briefly about your experience in solitary confinement?
Oh, my goodness. It's so deep. Look, the reason I call it a zoo is because an animal doesn't need writing materials, reading materials. out time phone, any of these things that is a myth that is allowed to people. And so we're talking, let's see, about 3 months of a 12 by 6 by 10 foot high room or so.
Uh-huh.
And no mattress, times no clothing. But anyway, they always brought me food. And I ate and I did a hunger strike. I did different things. But they were always so disappointed when I didn't want food. And I thought it was so funny. I mean, they'd actually beg. These hardcore Nazi types, you know, they'd be ordering you around 1 minute with the dogs coming into your cell, you know, and all that. And then... And then they're like, oh, you don't want to eat.
Oh, you know what? We're running out of time. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for giving us your information. Josie Setzler, any last thing you'd like to say? Name your website or places or actions that people should do.
Our website is witnessagainsttorture.com, and you can follow us on Facebook. We'll be in Washington again for Torture Awareness Week at the end of June. You can look at NEARCAT, National Witches Campaign Against Torture, as well, to learn more about that. And our basic message is that we need to let these men go home.
Good. Thank you so much, Josie Setzler from Witness Against Torture calling. I want to thank all of you who called in. I really appreciate it. And now we're going to go and let you have Teresa Mitchell will be on next with Press Watch.
Stand up for your right. Get up.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven in Portland. Oddville, a new vaudevillian tradition, is a brand new variety show style monthly night, taking cues from vaudevillian traditions and narrative comedy. Each month's showcase features a different lineup of performers, bringing together a wide range of artistic disciplines and focusing on polished short pieces from our thriving clown, circus, vaudevillian, and alternative performance communities right here in Portland. Again, that's Oddville, March 13th at 7 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, 1464 Southeast 2nd Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.